Hi, this is Pastor Jerry from Cross Point Church. I just want you to know that I am so thrilled that you've tuned in to join us right here online. And I want you to know that we care about you, we care about your family. And if you need any information about Cross Point Church, just let us know. You can email us, you can get back to us in any way that's most convenient for you. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this program. And by the way, let us know, would you, how the program is a blessing to you. Now let's go to the pulpit ministry of Cross Point Church.
All right, let's get into God's Word this morning. Last week, Jerry started a series called Life Lessons, Modern Truths from Ancient Times. It was the year before. We did a series similar downstairs. We called it Old School because, A, I'm old. But I love to dig into the Old Testament and look at some of these characters and some of these truths. And the reason it's so relevant and important for us today is simply this. The IQ of the church is dropping. And for many of us who are my age and around my age, a little bit older, have had a little life experience, a lot of these characters are very familiar to us, but there are a lot of people that have no idea who Daniel was or David or any of these things. And it's great for all of us to go back, and that's why I'm really appreciative of this series that Jerry is doing, Life Lessons, to be able to go into the Old Testament, find some of these characters. They might be fresh for you for the first time, and if they're not, hopefully we can find some fresh nuggets of truth, or I like to say pearls of wisdom, some treasures for you today from God's Word that you can take and apply to your life so we can be different. We can be more like Jesus, which is our goal. So today I'm entitling this, All Rise, Standing Up for What You Believe. Last week, Jerry looked at the importance of keeping your promises. This week, I want to look at the importance of standing. If you go into a judge's or into a courtroom, when the bailiff comes out, the judge comes out of their chambers, the bailiff will say, all rise, and we all rise. If you've ever had the privilege to see the president of the United States, when the president is ready to come on stage, someone will walk out and say, all rise, and then they play Hail to the Chief, and out comes the president. Today, I want us to look at how do we rise? How do you and I stand for what we believe? The interesting thing about the Bible is there are some interesting, God often uses a paradox to teach us a lesson. And I'm going to explain to you some of those. Like this one here, found in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I dare say none of us woke up this morning and asked God, dear God, please have somebody be really mean to me on Facebook. Or, dear God, can you please make sure that someone persecutes me today? I don't think any of us normally ask for that. But Paul says, for when I am weak, here's the paradox, then I am strong. Say that with me. Weak and strong. Thank you. We also find, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 1, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. We've got weak and strong, weak and strong. In Luke, Jesus said, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is the least who is the greatest. These paradoxes, weak, strong, least, great, all of these different things, a paradox to help teach us an important lesson. And I think God does that because really when God comes into your life, he turns the world upside down. Because when he created the world, everything was perfect. When sin came in, sin went, and God comes back and he goes, no, 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 let's put it this way. Cal Thomas, who's a columnist, he's a talk show host, he's been on television, he's been on radio, he said this, if you don't stand up for something, you will fall for everything. And that's so true. If you don't stand up for something, you're going to fall for everything. today, I want us to take a look at this character that we're going to look at from the Old Testament, and I want us to find the paradox as we talk about standing up for what you believe. Standing up for what you believe. Let me set the stage for you this morning. About 1,000 years before Christ, 1,000 BC, David became king of Israel. Now, David followed King Saul. Saul, of course, didn't have a heart after God, and God said, listen, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, and he gives it to a young shepherd boy by the name of David. And when David becomes king, David does something that Saul couldn't do. He unites all 12 tribes for the very first time, and the kingdom gets fairly large. After David, of course, his son Solomon comes on the throne. This is Saul's kingdom. Everything in green and blue is David's kingdom, and everything in green, blue, and purple is Solomon's kingdom. Solomon increases the kingdom. He builds the temple. Israel will never be as big and powerful as they are at this point in history. After King Solomon, the kingdom is divided. After he dies, the kingdom is divided, and there are two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, known as Israel, the southern kingdom, known as Judah. In 722 BC, the Assyrians come and they attack the northern kingdom, Israel. They take them into captivity and the people never return. In 605 BC, a young general by the name of Nebuchadnezzar comes and invades the city of David and actually captures Jerusalem. A few years later, he becomes king, and 18 years into his reign, Israel has another revolt, and this time they come back to Israel again, or to Judah again. This time they destroy the temple and they destroy Jerusalem. They break down all the walls, and the walls will not be rebuilt until Nehemiah. But when he came the first time as a general, he takes the city without destroying anything. Now, the interesting thing is, Nebuchadnezzar, as was his custom, takes intellectual hostages from the nobility and also from the royal family. Now, I would be spared because he's not looking for any Star Trek geeks. He was looking for intellectuals and nobility. So I'm good, okay? But that's what he did. And he did that. He sends them to Babylon to be reprogrammed to serve the Babylonians. Now, if you are a Star Trek geek like I am, you know that in one of the series, there were people called the Borg. The Borg would come and would reassemble. Anyways, they'd take over. And you would be turned into one of them. And they would say, resistance is futile. This is basically the Babylonians. They're the Borg of the Old Testament, okay? Any people understand what I just said? Two of you. Great. Lovely. As Jerry would say, who would not raise their hand if Jesus was here? Okay, all right. So he sends them to Babylon to be reprogrammed. Now, I've always wondered, why would you do that? Why? I mean, it would be like in my time when I was a kid, when the Cold War was going on, somebody coming in, attacking my house, grabbing me, taking me hostage, and smuggling me to Moscow, and then put me into a training program where I'd work in the Moscow government for the Kremlin. Why would you do that? I would be afraid they would become a spy, right? Well, Ed Heinzen, who's a lot smarter than I am, he came up with this idea. The reason they had royal hostages was insurance. It was an insurance policy that there wouldn't be a rebellion back home. It would keep the peace, and it did keep the peace for about 20 years. Then there was a little bit of rebellion, and this time Nebuchadnezzar was now king, and he sends them back, and they absolutely crush Jerusalem and the temple and destroy everything. But that's the reason why the Babylonians took these royal hostages and reprogrammed them and put them into their system. We know of four of them: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I think I've heard this story since I was probably this tall. Just recently, I realized as I was reading a bunch of commentaries that most people agree that the boys were probably 15 years of age. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. You're 15. For some of you, it wasn't that long ago. For some of you, you're hoping it's coming soon. For many of you, it was a while ago. Can you imagine at 15, somebody kicks at your door, grabs you, takes you away from everything that is familiar, everyone you know, and hauls you off to a foreign land where you will never, ever see your family again? That's the reality of these four guys. At 15, they are hauled off. They make the trek all the way from Jerusalem to Babylon, basically modern Iraq around Baghdad. Can you imagine that? Now, a little quiz for you this morning. Do you think these four were the only ones taken? How many say they think these were the only four taken? Raise your hand. How many think these are not the only four that were taken? How many wouldn't raise your hand if Jesus was asking you? Thank you very much. I agree with the majority of you. I don't think these were the only four that were taken. However, history has recorded the name of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I think because of their faith. These startled, traumatized young men are hauled off. And because they stayed true to their faith in Jehovah God, 3,000 years later, you and I are talking about them. And the rest of them, we don't have a clue to who they were. Now you can imagine, as you're making that trek from Jerusalem to Babylon, you can imagine some of the conversations that are going on, or at least some of the things the men are talking about in their minds. Maybe like, well, it's not our fault we were taken captive. Very true. Or, a guy could lose his head in a place like this, which is very true. We have to understand that this was a life and death situation. I'm sure for many of these people that were taken captive, as they came into Babylon, everything within them was screaming, compromise, just compromise. Do whatever you can to stay alive. Keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, do whatever they tell you to do, stay alive. But four of them decide to stand for their faith. Now, Babylon has been compared to modern Las Vegas. Any of the pleasures that were available at that time were available in Babylon. Rumor has it they had T-shirts printed, "What happens in Babylon stays in Babylon." Now, can you imagine? These are 15-year-old guys, right? Suddenly you're in Babylon, all this stuff is going on, and mom and dad are not around. I'm sure many of them, most, gave in to temptation. Most of them compromised. And I think today that time has passed them by and has forgotten them, because they compromised their faith. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stayed faithful. 15-year-old young men in the most horrific of all circumstances. Out of their culture, out of context, they stay faithful to their God. So today, quickly, how do we stand up for what we believe? How do we find this paradox that will help us to stand up for what we believe? There are three quick things today. We're going to look in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 6. Don't, you know, panic. We're not looking at all the verses. We're looking at two snapshots. For our folks that were in Thrive AM this morning, you guys looked at the middle portion of the story that we're not going to talk about today, the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's another thing. Daniel and his friends, their original names all were given because it related them to Jehovah God. The Babylonians changed their names to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as my dad used to say, shake the bed, make the bed, and in the bed you go, which were all from Babylonian gods. Now here's the thing. You could change their names, but you couldn't change who they were. Isn't that something? That is something. All right, let's go to Daniel. Chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 8 out of the NIV today. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." You talk about peer pressure. Not only were the guys under peer pressure, but so were the people who were serving them. If they didn't do the right thing, they literally could lose their head. I mean, this is a pressure-packed situation. Next verse. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. 10 days. Now, I don't want you. I can't lose 6 ounces in 10 days. All right? But he asked them, "Test them for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Now you have to understand, this is a 3-year program. A 3-year program. Now they start out right. Right away, they stand up for their faith and they say, "Listen, we can't do that." But Daniel has enough wisdom as a 15-year-old to say, "Listen, give us a test. Test us for 10 days. You talk about faith. Test us for 10 days, and let's see in those 10 days if we aren't that much different than the rest of us. If we're not, but if we are, you'll let us stay on this diet." They passed. But now this goes on for 3 years. Can you imagine every sniffle, every cough, every cold that came along? I'm sure Satan was whispering right in their ear, "You should go on the other diet. Don't eat that food. Go on the other diet. You'll be healthier." I'm sure that doubt came into their minds many times, but in 3 years, they did not waver. So let's jump to verse 17. "To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. These guys were head and shoulders intellectually better than anybody else. At the end of the time set by the king, 3 years, to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and he found," say this with me in yellow, "and he found none equal." Say it again. Oh, not bad. Better than the second service. One more time. Oh, terrific. Just like Thrive students, you're terrific. "Found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, so they entered the king's service." How do we stand up for our faith? Here's the first one. Or for what you believe, here's the first one. Faithfulness. And I put here, putting your faith to the test. It's one thing for you to sit here on Sunday morning and agree with me or Jerry or whoever is teaching. It's another thing to take what God has put into your heart, that God's whispering in your heart you should apply to your life, and then going out and actually putting it into practice on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The problem is the world thinks we're a bunch of hypocrites. And we are. Because we often don't put our faith to the test. These guys put their faith in action immediately. As I said, their names were names given for Babylonian gods, but they did not change what was in the inside of these guys. And at this young age, in this foreign country, and foreign food, and everything that's there, they do not waver, and they stay faithful. They put their faith in action immediately. And I think the big problem in our lives is often we go out with new challenges, a new job, college, or whatever it may be, and we think, I'm going to stand for my faith. And all of a sudden, that first little thing comes along, and all of a sudden you want, maybe I'll stand tomorrow. Or maybe I should say something today. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And life is filled with, I will do it tomorrow. Problem is, once we learn to compromise early, it's a slippery slope. They put their faith in action right away. They did it for 3 consecutive years, staying faithful, and they passed with glowing colors. I mean, it's just amazing. And to me, they were faithful in everything. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to be faithful in everything we do, not just today, not just tomorrow, but the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And it all begins with one right step today. Putting our faith in action today. Don't wait to do it tomorrow. And you know, Daniel didn't forget where his successes came from. He was always faithful to God and would continue no matter if it cost him his job or his life. That's the attitude he had. Here's this 15-year-old kid in a foreign land, and if it's going to cost him his life, he's not giving up his faith. He doesn't care. And you will find that Daniel's going to go through all 70 years of the captivity with different kingdoms ruling over him, and he's going to stay faithful in everything, everything, day after day, moment after moment. Number 2, stay faithful. Number 2, develop an uncompromising lifestyle. An uncompromising lifestyle. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is now an old man. He's about 85. He's gone through 70 years of captivity, or almost the 70 years of captivity. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. Think of it this way. 120 provinces, a governor for each province, okay? Fair enough? With 3 administrators over them. So you've got the king, 3 big honchos, and then these 120 governors. One of them was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this time, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. This is a politician that after 70 years was not corrupt. You talk about draining the swamp. Whoa! Were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Oh, Lord, give me one politician that after 70 years doesn't make one false move. But this guy was faithful. He did not compromise. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it's something to do with his law of his God." With the law of his God. Not only was he a good politician, not only was he a non-corrupt politician, they also knew exactly where he stood in his relationship with Jehovah. Everybody knew. And these guys finally said, "Well, let's see. I guess if we're going to find something, we're going to have to make a decree that has something to do with his religion, because otherwise we can't find anything wrong with this guy." Wow. So that's what they do. Here's the thing. Daniel stands up for 70 years. He stands up under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. He stands up under Belshazzar, who is Nebuchadnezzar's wicked grandson. He stands up under Darius the Mede. And most scholars believe there might have been another 2 kingdoms that he served under, depending on how certain words are interpreted. But he was under a lot of different administrations. In under 70 years, they cannot find fault with what the guy does. His name, his character, his integrity, and his reputation. Let me tell you, it's the only thing you're going to take to heaven. And the people you've shared Jesus with. That's it. His name, his character, his integrity, and his reputation stayed intact because he did not compromise. Remember I said when they got into the city, probably everything in your brain was screaming, compromise, just compromise, just stay alive. Keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, do whatever they want, stay alive. From the very beginning, he does not compromise, and he does not compromise throughout the rest of his life. Lastly, develop a deep and consistent prayer life. Listen to this. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, they were supposed to worship the king. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he has done. What's this word? What is it? If you were here for our 50th anniversary celebration with Jonathan Falwell, he talked about this verse. This was a habit, a spiritual habit that he had in his life. This wasn't talking to a cosmic Santa Claus. Oh, dear God, give me this, 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 and this, this today. Now I lay me down and sleep and pray, Lord, my soul to if it's die before I wake, pray, my soul to take. Bless mommy, daddy. It's not that. This is a guy that knew how to communicate with God. He walked and talked with him as I talked to my own father. Why do we have nursery? Why do we have Wombaland? Why do we have Upstreet? Why do we have Thrive Student Ministries? Why do we have College and Career? Why? Because we want them to form a habit of falling in love with God at a young age. And so when it's time to stand the test of whatever is out there, let me tell you, this is a crazy world out there right now, that they will stand. That's why. It's not that we needed more buildings. It's because we want to equip people to learn how to stand. Just as he had done before. Like I said, when I get to heaven, I want to meet his folks because they must be something. To have instilled that kind of a faith in a young man to be taken in the world's worst circumstances and stayed faithful to his God throughout his life. Wow. I want to meet those folks. I want to shake their hands. Here's the paradox. When we regularly deal, we stand. That's why we got to. I had a parent come up to me the other day. They said, our little 4-year-old the other night asked Jesus in his heart. We stand when we kneel. Daniel knew his God intimately. And no matter what the circumstances, and I have people all the time say, well, Pencil, you don't know my circumstances. My dad told me a long time ago, it's not the circumstances in life that shape you, it's your response to them. You talk about bad circumstances, this cat had bad circumstances. He just did. But yet he was faithful to his God because he knew how to communicate with him on his knees. My final thought today, Daniel lived what he was willing to die for. What are you willing to die for today? Somebody put a gun to my wife, I'd be happy to step in front of that bullet. Somebody put a gun in front of my kids, I'd be happy to stand in front of that bullet. It's one thing to say it, though, it's another thing to do it. It's one thing to say, I will stand for Jesus, and then walk outside that building, and suddenly a man puts a sword to your head. Or a young lady at Columbine High School by the name of Rachel Scott, after being shot 4 times, The man came up to her and said, "Do you still believe in God?" And she said, "Yes." And he pulled the trigger and she woke up in Jesus' arms. What are you willing to die for today? Will you stand with me as we close? I don't know your circumstances today. I don't know where you are in this journey with Jesus. Maybe everything I've said today is just new stuff for you. But I do know, because I have experienced it myself, that Jesus will change your world and put it right side up again. And I am grateful for the paradoxes that he teaches us, that when I am weak, but I lean on him, he is strong. That when I kneel and commune with him, I can stand. Just going to ask you for just a moment, just to bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe you don't know this Jesus that I've been talking about today. I'd love for you to come up and talk to somebody and say, "Hey, can you tell me more?" Deb is here, and Pastor Gary is here, and a lot of people would like to talk to you. I'll talk to you afterwards. But it all begins by standing up the first time and saying, "I realize that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus in my life." And you can pray something like this: "Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Right now, on this day, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come into my life and save my soul." And guess what? If you mean that with all your heart, he will do that. And today you will be on that journey. And you can say, "Help me to grow spiritually as your disciple and to continue the path of becoming more like you every day, just like Daniel did, one step at a time, day after day. Faithful, no compromise, learning how to stand by kneeling in prayer." For those of you that are here and you know Christ, I challenge you today. Do the people around you, would they be able to say like Daniel's friends, "I can find nothing wrong in their lives"? Well, I don't know. I've been looking in the mirror of my own life this week, and I think I'd fail. Maybe God's placed somebody on your heart that you could say, "You know what? I need the next time I see them to take a stand, to let them know where I stand with Jesus Christ." I'll just ask you for a minute, just in the quietness of the room, will you just pray for that person right now? And then in a moment, I will close this in prayer.
Hi, I'm Jess, and thanks for joining us today at Crosspoint, where our mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to take a moment and let you know some of the things coming up around Crosspoint, so check this out. Ladies, you will not want to miss this year's Refocus Conference, hosted right here at Crosspoint on Saturday, September 23rd from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. All ladies are invited to attend this wonderful day of worship, teaching, and fellowship. The cost is $15 and covers the cost of the conference, morning refreshments, and lunch. The theme this year is treasure, storing up the good things of God in our lives. We hope you can join us. Men, get ready for the 2017 Crosspoint Men's Golf Tournament that will be held on Saturday, September 16th at the Pine Hill Golf Course on Brewer Lake Road. The 18-hole tournament will begin with a shotgun start at 9:30 a.m. and lunch will be provided after the front nine. There will be numerous prizes awarded. Total cost will be $35 per person, payable at the course. Registration of the two-man teams or individuals who wish to be paired up are due no later than Friday, September 8th. Don't miss it. Fall is right around the corner, and our Sunday night program for kids ages 5 to 12 is almost ready to begin. We call it American Heritage for Girls and Trail Life for the Boys, and it runs from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's a great opportunity for our children to learn how to develop Christian character for God in the context of activities and a scouting program. All boys and girls are invited to join us for this exciting opportunity for fun and faith. Join us for Crosspoint Sunday nights beginning weekly at 6 p.m. starting September 10th. This is an incredible opportunity to grow deeper in your faith through relevant Bible teaching, or to simply create a space for quiet worship and reflection. Our prayer and praise service takes place in the auditorium at 6 p.m. and is a reflective atmosphere of worship, prayer, and a brief inspirational thought. This will also be the kickoff of our refuel services for Thrive Student Ministries for all students grades 6 through 12. There will also be a marriage class taught by Pastor Tom from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in room 10. Full nursery is also available for babies through the ages of 4 from 5:30 to 7 p.m. as well. You can find out all of this information and more on our new website or through our Crosspoint app. Simply search Crosspoint Maine in your app store. Thank you again for being with us today. If you have any questions on anything you saw or heard here today, we'd love to hear from you. If it's your first time here or you haven't been here for a while, we invite you to connect with us at our welcome table at the rear left of the auditorium as you exit. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crosspoint Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.